Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now, Paul Emig, our green and gold analyst on the Schneider Orange Hotline. How you doing, Paul?
Bill, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Let's first of all start with HaHa Clinton Dix. We talked about him a little bit earlier in the program today, and he had some time off because of his the passing of his godmother. According to Rob Domofsky, he kind of, when asked about his contract, gave him a wink. And I had said, look, if you're off because of a family member passing, no problem. If you're out there because of contract issues, I don't begrudge you to get the money. The one thing that can become an issue is if he doesn't play well again this year, and let's say he does get a contract extension at some point. Once you get that extension and you give the wink and a nod, the crosshairs then squarely, become you. How much better do you think he's going to be with Mike Pettine now at the helm and not the same old from Dom Capers?
Well, I know he's been talking about feeling like he'll be able to be more free in this Mike Pettine defense, but I just want to take a quick step back, Bill, and say that the Clinton Dix story yesterday was one of the stranger ones, unexpected ones, with different versions of the same story that I can remember in recent memory, where, you first see, okay, Clinton Dix stands in front of the media at his locker and explains that he wasn't there because of the death of his godmother or grandmother, I forget which, and then he starts being asked more and more about it. And I also read Michael Cohen's story in PackersNews.com and the Journal Sentinel, and he had the same take on it as Rob Domofsky on ESPN.com, and it was just fascinating. Like, you could have, if things would have just stopped at his initial explanation, that would have been that. And, because you and I talked about and sort of softly speculated about maybe the reasons, and maybe there were multiple reasons. But then as he kind of got interrogated and further questioned a little bit more by reporters up in Green Bay yesterday, a lot more was revealed. And that he went into how, if he had workout bonuses in his contract, he would have been there last week, regardless of anything else happening in his life. And that, that wink, wink, the contract didn't have anything to do with him not being there, wink, wink. Like, just a fascinating, bizarre story and turn, twist and turn on that. Now, I'll get back to you. I mean, I don't know if you want to divulge any more into that, but that was just, for me, I was like, wow, like what is going on with this guy to kind of give kind of two different responses to the same question? In terms of his play, Bill, he's the fifth year starter on this team. He's been a starter since day one. He's always had Morgan Burnett back there with him as a safety blanket and as something that he can rely upon if he gets lost or if he has a question or if something is going wrong. And now that he's the fifth-year player and someone like Josh Jones is a second-year player as his safety starting counterpart, he has to be the leader back there. And I know that, he went through all of the stuff about he was having all of the practice clips sent to his team iPad, and he watched everything, and he was able to touch base with Joe Witt or Mike Pettine when needed. There were so many variables to this that, was he upset that his fifth-year option was picked up by the Packers? No workout bonuses and all these different things. But again, at the end of the day, to be cliche and phrase it that way, at the end of the day, if he goes back to the player he was in 2016 and before, no one's going to care. If he goes out and puts on film what he did last year, including a complete no-show week 17 in Detroit, we're all going to kind of come back to this moment and say, is this where it started? Or is this like, did it build upon that fact? So many layers to that, Bill. I'll stop there, and I'll let me know if you want to go any further with it.
No, I completely agree. I thought, look, if we just want to call it what it is, this is what I feel. The bottom line is, if you had a family member pass, and that is your That is your focus. I would never begrudge you anything. Okay? Go do what you got to do. Be with your family. Absolutely. But I agree. When he started getting into other things, and it sounded like had he been paid, he'd have been there. I don't want to put words in his mouth because I don't know what's going through his head. He could be just talking off the top of his head and kind of saying some things that in reality maybe you mean or don't mean, or it just gets taken poorly. But it came off to me like, you know, hey, my godmother meant a lot to me. But had I had a better contract, I'd have been here. You know, that's what it kind of came off
right,
like.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So I want to give him the benefit of the doubt because you never make light in any essence of a death in the family. But there was just something to that that just said to me, okay, this just doesn't sit right. And I hope I'm reading it wrong, I guess is the best way to put it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And I think the bigger point to this whole thing is the Packers defense needs him to be a really good player. You know, and if he wants to talk about contracts and other things, he needs to have a really good year because whether he's with Green Bay in 2019 or he's with another team, his performance this season is going to have a huge impact on that, obviously, to say the least. And so if you just want to take it in a one-year vacuum and just look at what 2018 means to both parties, both the Packers and himself personally, the team, needs him to be a really good player. They really, really do. Not just from like a typical box score production type of thing, but from a leadership perspective and from a communication perspective. And if he does that, if he does go back to his 2015, 2016 type of performances, he's going to get paid, you know, and the Packers are going to be crazy to let him go. But again, if it's a two-year trend in the negative direction, beginning with 2017 and his performance last season, you know, then how do you give the guy a big money contract, whether you're Green Bay or anybody else? So for the Packers defense in 2018 and for his long-term future in the league and how much he's going to make in the future, needless to say, a huge, huge year in the life and career of Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
Would you pay him or renegotiate that deal or extend him now?
From a team-friendly perspective, sure. You know, like, I don't think, first off, I would say I don't think that's happening. I don't foresee that being what happens. I think he's going to play out the year, and then what happens happens. But I don't think you are, if you are Brian Gutekunst and Russ Ball, and you're looking at the situation, you don't really have his replacement in house. Whereas I think we all thought, and then it became more and more clear, Josh Jones was drafted to be the Morgan Burnett replacement, and that never became more clear than when we saw the final contract details on the contract that Burnett signed this offseason with Pittsburgh. Very small money compared to what we all thought he was going to sign for and what even all of the national contract websites like SportsRack and all the other ones projected him to be worth, and the Packers still didn't get engaged with him, you know, from a new contract. So Josh Jones was the replacement there. There's not that guy to replace Clinton Dix next year currently in-house if things don't get worked out, you know, in the next, 10, 8, 9 months. Sure, of course, I think he's a good player, but I think he has a lot to prove that 2017 was not what he's going to look like in 2018.
Moving on, we were listening to Mike Clemens a little while ago, and Mike had made the comment that, you know, Brett Hundley still kind of looks like Brett Hundley. So what do you do with Brett Hundley at this point? I mean, there's really, you're not going to cut him, are you?
If he clearly, definitively loses the number two quarterback job to Deshaun Kizer in training camp, which I suspect he will, I think Kizer is their guy. I mean, pending Kizer showing up to training camp and preseason and just being awful, I think that's Kizer's job to lose. I know other people feel differently about it. I think it's Kizer's job to lose. Having said that, with Hundley, I don't think they're going to – I mean, Bill, we're so far away from having to make this prediction and so far away from Brian Gutekunst having to make this call. I mean, 70 to 80 days away from final roster cut. So there's so much still to be unfolded, but I don't think they're going to keep three quarterbacks. I mean, unless really there's a nominal difference between, you know, keeping an extra linebacker or keeping a third quarterback. But I think in the past, again, this is the Ted Thompson regime, so that was a different time. But yeah, there were times going back to when Tolzien was kept as a third guy and And there was a couple years there where that happened. But mostly, you don't keep three quarterbacks. Does he have any trade value? I mean, is he even worth, you know, a sixth or seventh round pick to a team that would want him as the number two? I don't even know. I would think he's worth a sixth or a seventh rather than just cutting him outright. But, again, that's nowhere near the return on investment that Ted Thompson thought they would likely get one day when they traded up to get him in the fifth.
Talking with Paul Imig, our Green and Gold analyst, and now looking at the rest of this team, I know there's been some, for lack of a better term, accountability when it comes from the defensive side of the football and Mike Pettine. Look, on paper and in sound, it all sounds great. In reality, for what they've done, I was asked this last week. They said, okay, look, if you want a top 10 defense, has Gutekunst put together a top 10 defense? If you had to answer that question today, do you think with the addition of Mike Pettine, who has had top 10 success, they have put together a top 10 defense?
I could not commit to top 10. I could commit to top half. You know, if you said top 16, I would say yes. If you said top 10, I would say no. There's, you know, we talked about Clinton Dix needing a bounce back year. Mo Wilkerson needs a bounce back year. Is he the guy he was pre-major contract with the Jets, or is he what he was the past couple of years, which is still a good player, but nowhere near the difference maker that he was? How quickly do the rookie cornerbacks in the first and second round with Jair Alexander and Josh Jackson, how quickly do they acclimate? Can Tremont Williams somehow continue to defy age and defy, you know, everything that most cornerbacks at a skill position like that aren't able to do? For anybody who, you know, I'm assuming didn't watch a bunch of Tremont Williams' Arizona Cardinals film from last year, I mean, this guy was really good and somehow still really doing a good job when he was 34 years old with Arizona. If he can still be that player in 2018 at his age now, you can, you know, you can have more time for not only Alexander and Josh Jackson to develop, but also for Kevin King, a second-year player coming off a pretty major surgery on his shoulder, coming back and not having to be pressed into too significant a duty. So I look at the additions of Mo Wilkerson and Tremont Williams, and I say, like, those are clearly two major wild cards, not to mention the development of three extremely young corners, including second-year player Kevin King. So top 10 is asking a lot. You know, that's a major, major turnaround. But if Pettine makes a difference, that I think he will, I think I'm on the optimistic side of what Pettine will mean to this defense. And if, you know, new guys, new additions, not just in free agency with Wilkerson and with Tremont Williams, but also, as mentioned, the young rookies, especially at the corner position, I think they're a top half-ish defense, you know, as constituted today. But again, there's so many wild cards and so many factors, including Pettine's presence in this whole thing, that could sway that. The top 10, Bill, I think it'd be apprehensive to go that far right now.
Yeah, I don't think they're top 10, but I think they can they can get into the top 15, and I certainly think that they're going to be good enough to sustain. Paul, we'll talk again later in the week, okay?
Sounds great, Bill.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. Paul Imig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.